Well, we are still in our series looking at how we can live today as if we only had 30 days to live. On Easter, we asked what we wish we would have said or done if we were fading on the operating table, and what's stopping us from doing that right now anyway. And I know most of you ran off to check your time of death at deathclock.com as well. This week we're looking at the suddenness and shortness of our lives. The psalm we heard earlier said that our lives are fleeting, that our days are but a few handbreadths. That's the narrower way of measuring your hand even. That's how short our lives are, the psalm said. Our second text today is from the letter of James, and many of the early churches were filled primarily with people who were very, very poor, although there were usually some patrons, usually widows who had access to some wealth in their churches. But this church that James is writing to had quite a few successful merchants among their ranks. And his worry is that they have received the blessed good news of Easter into their hearts, but they haven't figured out how that should change how they live on a day-to-day basis. One of the most famous lines in the book of James is that faith without works is dead. You've probably heard that before. In this passage, James addresses these well-to-do merchants who were very proud of what they had accomplished and very ambitious about what they were going to do in the future. James chapter 4. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there doing business and making money. Yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wishes, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the right thing to do and fails to do it commits sin. This is the word of the Lord. So thanks be to God. About 6 weeks ago or so, my 2-year-old son Caleb, great scientist that he is, made an amazing discovery. It's probably going to be published. We were walking into a doctor's appointment, and Caleb exclaimed, Dada, you blowing smoke. Mind blown. And so I taught him how to go, you know, on a cold day, and that moist air would become smoke in his parlance. But much to his chagrin, it seemed that the smoke kept vanishing. And, you know, Dada had to keep taking breaths to blow more smoke. So there was always a pause in the smoke. How rude of Dada. But the worst part of all, that was when we came back outside after the doctor's appointment. It was like 15 degrees warmer by then. And he was, Dada, where's the smoke? No smoke at all. The universe clearly does not understand the needs of a toddler. Now, when James writes, you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Picture your misty breath on a cold day, your smoke in Caleb's. That's the image that James had in mind. No matter how hard you try to keep it coming, no matter how hard you try to keep it visible, it vanishes. Although, as a side note, I wonder if people who can breathe and blow out at the same time, like Kenny G, he can blow a note for like 37 minutes. I wonder if they can keep that mist going all morning. The inquiring minds want to know. Someone look up Kenny G's number. Give him a call. We need to find this out. But James is really making two points here. First, he's reminding us that our lives are short. Same thing that we heard in the psalm. God has numbered our days. And it's not a big number. But James's second point is that we don't know the number. We could vanish like our misty breath. On a cold day, anything could happen. Have you ever had one of those that could have been really bad moments? I've had quite a few narrow escapes, but one jumped into my mind this weekend. Our house in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania had two gargantuan trees, one in front and one in back, strategically placed so that all of their leaves would be guaranteed to fall inside our gutters. And so every fall, I got a renewed appreciation of why we call that season fall. And so up the ladder I would go, scooping out the leaves, grumbling under my breath so no one could hear about what I was having to do, secretly wishing that a large wind would come upon them and blow them over into the neighbor's yard. Don't tell them I told them to do that. And as I reached for the next handful of leaves, suddenly I realized that the bricks beneath me seemed to be coming closer and closer to my face very rapidly, or more properly, that the ladder I was on had fallen out from underneath me, and I was hurtling toward this brick patio. Now, I managed, actually, to ride the ladder all the way down and stick the landing. I would have gotten a 10.0, I think. Straddling the ladder, I destroyed our rose trellis, knocked out the cable TV wires, the bush beneath me was gone, the fencing that we used to keep the dog out, that was collapsed, but I escaped with just a little bruise on my head and a renewed appreciation for having a clean, level area beneath your ladder. But that could have gone really badly. In fact, another guy in the church just 2 weeks prior had the same thing happen to him. He fell off to the side and broke his back. Anything can happen. Now, given that anything can happen, given that we do not know how many days God has given us, what are we putting off to tomorrow? What are we waiting until we get around to it? And how would you feel if you never got the chance? Maybe that's visiting a relative. Maybe that's telling someone you love them or that you forgive them. Or maybe that's doing something creative, like a project or a book. You know, what are you putting off? Knowing how unpredictable our lives are, Proverbs chapter 6 says, "Don't put it off, do it now, don't rest until you do." Or as William Wordsworth said, "To begin, begin." Now for me, beginning something, that's never the problem. I can lay claim to at least one thing that I have in common with Leonardo da Vinci. One writer characterized him as a creative polygamist, constantly inventing new ideas, but rarely committing to them long enough to complete them. For example, we can account for like 2,100 paintings from Van Gogh in just one 10-year period, but Leonardo only has like 30 finished works on record. One of them, The Adoration of the Magi, sure looks like he never actually finished it, but it's still good enough to command an entire room in a museum. But if you look at his journals, they are filled with hundreds and hundreds of ideas and concepts, halting starts that never saw a finish. For comparison, some of you know that I started computer programming when I was in second grade with the goal of making video games. And I have a lot of those projects still saved on my hard drive to this day. And so I went and did a little quick count of what I still have records for. I found 163 computer projects I have started over the years. 6 of them were finished. I used to tell my family about ideas I had for books, and I would always preface it with, "Oh, guess what? You'll never guess. I had another idea for a book I'll never write." I went through my records this week, found 27 books that I had started writing. And until 2 years ago, none of them were completed. But what changed 2 years ago? Well, 2 years ago, I just decided I am going to finish it. No, even if it is terrible, even if no one cares, I am just going to at least no longer be able to say the book I'll never write, because I will say I at least wrote it. Just get it done. That was the decision I made 2 years ago. Now there are two. I have the Ephesians Bible study. I have the children's book on rocket ships. Now that's the one you all want. What's my point, though? Maybe you need to hear Proverbs 6. Don't put it off. Do it now. Maybe you need encouragement to start something. Or maybe you're like me and Leonardo da Vinci, and maybe you need to hear from Paul in Acts chapter 20, "My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me." Maybe you need encouragement to finish something. Whether you need to start something or finish something, remember that James says our lives are but wisps. We are smoke on a cold day. God has numbered our days, but we don't know the number. How would you feel if you never got the chance to start that or to finish that task that Jesus has for you? Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. A lot of times, God gives us tasks that are very difficult or require a lot of effort and discipline to complete. And so you have to decide if you're willing to put in the kind of effort God is asking from you. Maybe you've heard the story of a man who was very, very ill. He and his wife went to see the doctor, and the doctor, you know, ran a series of tests, and the doctor asked the wife to step outside, and he shared with her, "Your husband is very ill. He's a very serious disease, but he can recover. But what it will take is you'll have to really take care of them for the next, 6 months. You'll have to, cook 3 meals a day. You'll have to prepare them just the way he likes them. Anything he asks every day for the next 6 months, you'll have to give it to him. But if you can do that, he'll be just fine. And so the wife stepped back into the room and went to her husband's side, took his hand in hers, and informed him of the doctor's prognosis. The doctor says, "You're not going to make it." The task God has for you to start or finish, it may not be easy. It may take a lot of work. But if the Lord wills it, it will be worth it. But James cautions us against getting too proud of our hard work. If we rewind to that ladder that I rode to the ground, is the takeaway from that I have amazing cat-like reflexes? Or is the takeaway that I was blessed and God saved me from being hurt? If you were at the dinner table with me at Good Friday for the potluck and saw me spill one glass of water on my family and then one glass of water on Pastor Two's family, you probably wouldn't pick cat-like reflexes as the takeaway for that story. James tells this church of merchants, beware of thinking your life is your own and that God is just an afterthought. He tells this church of merchants to beware of boasting about how you have been a self-made person, forgetting the role that God has played in blessing you. And he tells this church of merchants to beware of knowing the right thing to do, but failing to do it. Instead of these three things to avoid, James tells this church of merchants to seek the Lord's will fervently and then do it. Whether we need to start it, whether we need to finish it, let God be in control of your life, and let God get the credit. Let God be glorified as you do the right thing. That's what it looks like to live today. So what has the Holy Spirit given you to start or to finish? And how would you feel if you never got the chance? Remember Proverbs 6. Don't put it off. Do it now. Don't rest until you do. Amen.